Give yourself a few more minutes to rest in your own presence. And maybe while you're resting in your own presence, if you'd like to just sort of scoot up a little bit, it's kind of empty up front and really crowded in the back. And again, just let yourself really settle in. Really feel the presence of your own presence. And check in with that presence. Check in with the qualities of your own presence tonight. Is it? How's it feeling? And the breath, check in with your breath. How's it feeling? Just let you come back, let yourselves come back into the room, back into the world of open eyes, or not. So I continue to wrestle with this chapter of the Gita and how to make it really relevant for us now. And today I was thinking, just take a break. Everybody's probably sick of it anyway. I was thinking, this class has been going on now for I guess over 20 years, and some of us have been here from the very beginning. And in a way, the Bhagavad Gita is a review course of everything we've done over these 20 years. It really is the review. It's the survey course of yoga. And I think part of the reason I've been wrestling with this particular chapter is it's everything we know so well. We've gone over it over and over and over again from so many different perspectives. And at the end of the day, it's simply about resting in the centerpiece of the self. At the end of the day, it's really about finding the still point inside. And everything else is just a story or a technique to get there. And I was sitting with all that earlier today, and I said, well, let's see what Mary Oliver has to say. And I said to the book, say something about stillness. I swear, this really happened. And I opened it up. And it's not like it opened to this place because it's been open there so many times. It just hasn't been. But it opened to this poem that we read. We might have read it last week. And it says it so beautifully. Today, I'm flying low. And I'm not saying a word. I'm letting all the voodoos of ambition sleep. That's really the entire Bhagavad Gita in three lines. The world goes on as it must. The bees in the garden rumbling a little. the fish leaping, the gnats getting eaten, and so forth. But I'm taking the day off, quiet as a feather. I hardly move, though really, I'm traveling a terrific distance. I hardly move, though really, I'm traveling a terrific distance. Stillness, one of the doors into temple. And it is such a great distance from the outer limits of the thinking mind and the outer limits of the pull of the senses. That outward pull of the senses into that deep depth of stillness. This one is called Green Green is My Sister's House. Don't you dare climb that tree or even try, they said, or you will be sent away to the hospital of the very foolish, if not the other one. And I suppose, considering my age, it was fair advice. But the tree is a sister to me. She lives alone in a green cottage high in the air. And I know what would happen. She'd clap her green hands. She'd shake her green hair. She'd welcome me, truly. So such a profound recognition of the utter sameness of everything that lives. Don't you dare climb that tree or even try, they said, or you will be sent away to the hospital of the very foolish, if not the other one. And I suppose, considering my age, it was fair advice. Notice how she doesn't say it was right. She says it was fair advice. But the tree is a sister to me. She lives alone in a green cottage high in the air, and I know what would happen. She'd clap her green hands. She'd shake her green hair. She'd welcome me, truly. I try to be good, but sometimes person just has to break out and act like the wild and springy thing one used to be. It's impossible not to remember wild and want it back. I try to be good, but sometimes a person just has to break out and act like the wild and springy thing one used to be. It's impossible not to remember wild and want it back. So if someday you can't find me, you might look into that tree, or, of course, it's possible, under it. Fear, what you call salvation belongs to the time before death. So since everyone is in such a quiet state tonight, I think I'll spare you the Gita. Maybe I'll just read the one verse I sent in the email this morning. Well, maybe I'll read you a few verses. This one is nice. The wise man does not unsettle the minds of the ignorant. Quietly acting in the spirit of yoga, he inspires them to do the same. The wise man does not unsettle the minds of the ignorant. Quietly acting in the spirit of yoga, he inspires them to do the same. It is better to do your own duty badly than to perfectly do another's. You are safe from harm when you do what you should be doing. It is better to do your own duty badly than to perfectly do another's. In other words, saying yes when you mean no. You are safe from harm when you do what you should be doing, which would be saying no when you mean no, and saying yes when you mean yes, and everything in between. It's better to do your own duty badly than to perfectly do another's. You're safe from harm when you do what you should be doing. No need to be a perfectionist. No need to strive for anything, only to reach deeper and deeper into that very elusive, very subtle, very mysterious inner presence of, yes, this is what I am, this is who I am, this is what I must do. So next week, I promise, we'll finish this chapter. I have to talk about the three gunas to go through this chapter. But you might take this and sit with it this week, and then we can read the rest of this chapter. You know, the gunas are one of the ways that they organize creation, and they divide them into three categories. And the first guna, sattva guna, is the experience of purity, simplicity, loveliness, clarity. And the rajas guna is very active, and the tamas guna is very still. And when these three are held in a hierarchical system, then the sattva guna is considered the good one, rajas not so good, and tamas really bad. But I've never been able to wrap my mind around that way of working with the gunas. To me, they're just three different qualities that exist within us and all around us all the time. And it's a nice way to explore yourself if you just want to kind of feel where there's activity inside of you, where there's just really deep stillness inside of you, and where there's a kind of sparkly luminosity. And those are the three gunas weaving themselves around inside of us. And obviously, what we want is balance of the three. They only become problematic when they get out of balance, like everything in this life.